Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God we have in our hands. We thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom to raise our children and memorize Scripture and learn good hymns. Lord, plant some seed into their heads that you could call upon it and save their souls. We thank you, Lord, for this country. We thank you, Lord, for this church. I do pray that every child of God in this room today will be touched and moved by your Holy Spirit. And I pray if there be a lost soul in the sound of my voice, that soul will be touched and brought to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior Lord. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, every once in a while I end up fellowshipping different places or reading books or various things. And I notice how much people, preachers, Christians place on their denomination, on their name. I don't know what you think about the name. Some of you may look at that sign out there in the front and say, this is a bunch of nuts around here. And you might think so. No name out there for this church. We just meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I was listening to the radio one night, and I listened to this heretic. It was sort of interesting to listen to him. They had a great chorus. It's a huge church in Chicago. They had a great chorus. One way to God, baptized in Jesus' name. And it went over and over and over. It's sort of like the modern choruses some of y'all sing. Same verses, just same words, just going over and over. I personally like hymns that have more words than three or four, you know. I sort of like them that have a little bit of a story to them or tell a little something, give a little doctrine. Look at Charles Wesley. You want to see how to write a hymn? Look at Charles Wesley's hymn. Fanny Crosby. Man, they know how to write a hymn. But at any rate, that chorus, they would sing over and over and over again. One way to God, baptized in Jesus' name. And I knew that was wrong. See, the problem with most of the cults and most of the people that really get off, and they're really generally off on salvation. They may have some very good teachings. You take Garner Ted and Herbert W. Armstrong, they have some tremendous books on raising your family. They do. And they're teaching you right. They're teaching you from the Bible. They're teaching you discipline. And they can teach you some great things about that. But you mess with them, they're dealing wrong on salvation, and you might have a great family and go to hell. You got to watch the doctrine, and you have to know enough doctrine from your Bible to be able to tell what somebody else is teaching. And so I began to study my Bible, and I said, boy, I know that's wrong. And I had this verse right in mind, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And as I thought about that, I thought, boy, they're doing it wrong. They got the wrong formula. So I took out my concordance. I'm a young preacher, and I began to go through my concordance looking at every baptism I could find in the Bible. You know what I found? They were right about the name of Jesus. And by the way, did any of you speak English? Any of you ever take an English class? Did they ever make you study grammar? Have you noticed that name is singular? It's not plural. It's not names of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three names. No, it's the name singular of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And as I began to look through the Bible, I saw that with apostles filled with the Holy Spirit doing exactly what Jesus told them to do, baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a single time anywhere in Scripture ever is this formula used as the only formula, at any rate, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But what do most churches, Christian churches, whatever, they baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost because of this verse? Well, they're doing all right. I'm not saying they're doing wrong because they're following Scripture. He said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you see, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You're baptized in the name of Jesus just as if you'd said the word. So I'm not knocking your baptism if you were baptized that way. What I'm saying is you need to learn something about the name. There is a name better than other names. There's a name above other names. And I tell you, it's above your denominational name, and it's above your family name, and it's above your church name, and it's above a lot of things that we give allegiance to. It's the name of Jesus. You know, not only were they to go out and preach the word and baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Bible says they did something like that. Look, if you will, with me in Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 40. Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. They're having a real problem with these apostles that are street preaching. They're preaching in the streets. They're preaching down at the temple. They're preaching everywhere, and they're preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And these Jewish leaders do not like that. They got a real problem with that. And so they've come to a great leader there, and he's given them some advice. Gamaliel, he was a doctor of the law. He was one high in reputation. He told them to leave him alone. Down at verse 40, it says what they did, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what religion does not like. You really preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. Religion thinks it has sort of a corner on salvation. You got to go to their church. You got to live by their particular commandments. You got to do their particular will. You got to go through their way, their baptism, their membership, their pastors. They're something, and they've got it all wrong. You can go to church every Sunday and go to hell. You can be the most religious person in San Antonio and split hell right open. Let me tell you what you need. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. And that's who these apostles were preaching. They were going everywhere, every place, preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. They were preaching, hey fellas, it's not the Jewish sacrifice. It's not even the Jewish temple. It's not the Jewish priest. It's Jesus Christ, the one priest that's at the right hand of God the Father in the heavens, the one that died upon the cross for you. It made these guys mad. It upset them, and it was upsetting their day. These fellas came out. You know what I noticed? They counted it an honor to suffer shame for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? I just think it's absolutely beautiful. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I remember I was in a mission conference years ago, and I was one of the speakers that was going to be there, and it was a particular denomination, and I won't say which at the present moment, but I had one of the prominent speakers of that denomination, and I began to notice something. I began to notice how he bragged on his denomination and used it over and over and over again, and how many times he mentioned Jesus Christ. And I'm sitting down there making some notes. I'm just sort of putting on a piece of paper how many times he says his denomination. He said his denomination's name in that one sermon 43 times. Mentioned the name of Jesus 3. We can get off track. We can get to the place that we're promoting programs. Or we're promoting other names, whether it be preachers or whatever. And we lose sight of the fact it's Jesus Christ that ought to be prominent in our minds, and Jesus Christ ought to be prominent in our preaching. And I want you to notice what they did when they went from house to house. They did not cease to teach and preach Jesus Christ when they went to the house. They didn't go to the house and say, you need to be in church. Church children seldom make delinquents. That's a good idea. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not what they said. They went out there house to house and preached Jesus Christ to them. Remember what Philip did as the Ethiopian eunuch is going across the desert out there, and God sends him from a revival out to that chariot? He got into the chariot, and from Isaiah 53, he preached Jesus unto him. What's he telling him? He's telling him how to be saved. He's telling him what he needs for salvation. And he didn't tell him a whole lot of religious things. He told him he needed to come to Christ. And that man did. He came to Christ on the name of Jesus. Listen to me. I can remember so well when I got saved. And by the way, when we start this revival September 1st, that's my birthday, spiritual birthday. I was saved first day of September, 1957. I remember I didn't know much about this Bible. I knew I was convicted of my sin. I knew I needed a Savior. I knew I needed some help. But I had heard that Jesus Christ was a merciful God. And that if I would call upon Him, He would forgive and save. And that's about all the faith I had. But that was enough faith for me to get on my knees and ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart, save my soul, and change my life. And that night I surrendered to preach. I've been preaching ever since. And you know what? I don't get tired of the name of Jesus. And I don't believe I can ever do a good enough job of bragging on Jesus. Now, I'm sure many times when I've been bragged on as a preacher before they're going to introduce me to a congregation or whatever, they've said way too much. I said, I'm sitting over there, I wonder who he's talking about. How can I ever live up to this, you know? This great man has done this great work and whatever. And I've done that myself years ago. I bragged on people, you know, oh, this fine preacher, he's done this, held these revivals, done. And then the poor guy get up and fall flat on his face. We're setting him up to be humbled. When you start bragging on a man, you're setting him up to be humbled. And so I got the place, I don't do much bragging on people. And I don't, even when I'm introducing preachers, I'm sure they feel a little bad. They go away from my church and, you know, I said, hey, here's a guy. He's coming to preach. Hope you get a blessing. Well, you know, I don't brag. Doctor so-and-so has been so instrumental in the blah, 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 you know. How do you live up to some of these things? And by the way, it's not the power of the preacher. It's not the power of the pulpit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that uses the Word of God to transform lives. And I want you to know the name that comes in. It's Jesus. They preach Jesus. They baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 8. Philip's down in Samaria and he's preaching. He's having a tremendous revival. I mean, numbers of people are getting saved. It says in verse 12, Acts 8, 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and notice, and the name of Jesus. The things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Look at verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you what it is. Jesus is the name, and that name is important. It's not only important doctrine when you come to look at how many verses of Scripture and how many things that are done in the Bible about the name of Jesus Christ. It's not your denomination, it is not your religion, it is not you that's important, it's not the preacher that's important or the evangelist that's important. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read you a few more verses before I get through, but I want you to understand something. I believe Jesus Christ and His name are very important in your salvation. And I believe the Bible proves it. I don't believe there's anything else that comes close to it. Here it says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the way, if you'll check out your Bible, run your concordance, check every time there's a baptism in the Bible, and look it up, you know what you'll find? You'll find that anything after the Lord Jesus Christ gave that commission, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they never used Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They used the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if the Holy Spirit filled these men enough to write this book and go out and do the preaching they did in the first century, I think you and I can follow their lead. In fact, if you want the doctrine of the apostles, I have it in my hand. You believe in the doctrine of the apostles? Praise God, I do. I've got it in my hand. I got what Paul thought, I got what Peter thought, I got what Matthew thought. I've got the doctrine of the apostles right here. And I don't have any higher authority. I don't know of a higher authority than the book I have in my hands. And I'm not talking about a library of Greek and Hebrew. I'm not talking about what Dr. Dudebigger says over at Podunk University or the Great Cemetery. I'm talking about what God says in an old King James Bible. Man, it was good enough to win more people to Christ than any other version of the book at any time in history. It ought to be good enough to go all over the judgment seat of Christ with. And that's where I'm headed for. Take a look at another verse with me, if you will. Look in John, chapter 16, verse 23. Prayer is a wonderful thing, and prayer, by the way, is one of the biggest doctrines in the Bible. If you want to go the number of verses that are given to it in the Scriptures, you look in the Bible, and there's hardly maybe God, faith, prayer. These are all great, big Bible doctrines with numbers and numbers of Scriptures, hundreds and thousands of verses. You know how you're supposed to pray? Look what it says. John 16:23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. That's Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. Isn't that interesting? In my name. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Now, if you'll just take and read three or four chapters right there together, you're going to find that same kind of teaching three times in a row. Three times in a row. You know what you're praying? You're praying to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? You don't have any credit with God. I was 30 and I were married. We got married at 18. Got out of high school. We got married. I was a milkman here for a while. Then I joined the Air Force and we were stationed in Roswell, New Mexico. And we decided we wanted a freezer. We figured we could buy on the base, put it in the freezer and save some money because we were living on $161.30 a month. Well, I went down to Sears and Roebuck and they would not give me $10 credit. I didn't have any credit. You guys graduate from high school, they send you 4 credit cards in the mail. You think that's a blessing. It's probably a curse. Amen. It is to a lot of you. I didn't have a gas credit card. I didn't have any kind of credit card. I couldn't go there and get a $200 freezer. By the way, $200 freezer, you know, big 20 cubic foot. But I called my daddy and I said, Dad, would you mind signing, co-signing on my thing? Sure. He co-signed. I walked down there and they gave me $200 credit. It wasn't my name. My name didn't count for much. They didn't want to give me much credit. But my daddy's name, that carried more weight. He owned a house. He owned a couple of cars. He had some maturity. He had a little bit of a bald head. They figured they might get the money out of him. I went down there and got that freezer, and it carried us all the way through college. I don't know when we finally got rid of it, but I know we went through all the service and went through all the college when we still had that freezer. But I got that not on my name, not my wife's name, not my good reputation. I got that on my daddy's name. I want you to understand, you don't have any credit in heaven. You're not that good. Some of you sweet little people think you're so good you don't even need Jesus. But let me tell you what, you need Jesus. Amen. You're not that good. Amen. You may be better than everybody in this room. That doesn't make you good enough to walk into the gates of heaven. Amen. That doesn't make you able to walk into the presence of an all-powerful God that is absolutely holy and cannot do sin. You can't walk into His presence. You don't have any credit, but Jesus does. Let me tell you what, when you walk into the courts of heaven and you bring your request in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's got lots of credit. Lots of credit. When you go to the Father and say, Father, I've been such a good boy, would you please let me buy my Cadillac? He'll say, you haven't been that good, son. And you don't need a Cadillac anyway. You can drive an old Ford. Probably keep you more humble. Might make you a better preacher. Oh, but let me tell you what. You get on your knees and walk into the presence of the Father and say, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. King of kings and Lord of lords. God in the flesh. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Lamb of God that died upon the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. I come to you in the name of Jesus. I want you to know it rings the bells of heaven. I want you to know it gets the attention of the Father. I was a missionary in Guatemala. My dad was here in San Antonio. And people would come through sometimes, some missionary, sometimes some friend, whatever. And I'd say, when you get through San Antonio, we didn't have hardly phones. You got mail maybe once a month. Letters would be a month behind either way going. So an answer to a letter might be 2 months down the line because it'd take a month to get there. And by the way, if the donkey died, they had to wait until they got a new donkey and trained him. I mean, we didn't have, if I wanted to make a telephone call to San Antonio, I could do it, but I had to go to Guatemala City to the telephone company, pay them the money up front, and they would try to get a connection through. I mean, today we have computers, we just talk to each other back and forth like this with all the missionaries. It's a beautiful thing in comparison. But in those days, any word from somebody who had been around, they're going to drive up. 4 days they're going to be in San Antonio. They've been down there in Guatemala with me, and I said, drop by and just mention me to my dad. He'll take care of me. You know, that was the truth. Now, I'm not sure what my dad would have done if a lot of strangers had knocked on his door. He probably wouldn't have paid much attention to him. But when that stranger said, Lindell sent me, whoo, did that make a difference? Oh, well, how was Lindell the last time you saw him? How was Berlin? How were the kids? How was the work doing? How was the political time? We were under communism and communist threat and martial law most of the time I was in Guatemala. It was a scary time, and it was a scary time for old folks sitting back up here thinking about their young folks somewhere else preaching the gospel in dangerous territory. Walk up to my daddy's house and say, Lindell told me to drop by and say hi to you. Why, I heard back from people. He took them out to eat. He would get in his car and carry them around and get parts for them. He helped them repair their vehicles. He did all sorts of things for free just because they walked up to that door with my name. I had some credit at that house. I had a father that loved me at that house. You know how you're to pray? You're to pray to God the Father in heaven in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the name important? Yes, it's important. Oh, Lord, I pray to you in the Catholic name. Help us. Lord, I pray to you in the Baptist name. Help us, Baptist. Doesn't carry much weight. Hell's going to be full of Baptists and Catholics, too, and a whole lot of religionists. Let me tell you what, if nobody ever saved by the blood of Jesus Christ will split hell wide open. I don't care what their denomination, I don't care what their mistakes and failures. Oh, there's power in the name. And if you're going to do any praying, expect any answers, you better do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not your name, not your church's name, not your denomination's name, not even your daddy's name. You better be learning how to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God answers prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you will, at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Matthew 18, 20. You'll notice this verse. Very interesting verse. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. How many does it take to make a church? Oh, it takes hundreds, thousands, huh? No. Two or three. But two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We ought to be gathering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think every Christian ought to be gathering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And bless your hearts, there's way too much emphasis on things other than Jesus. That's the name we gather around because He's the Savior. That's the name we gather around because He's God in the flesh. That's the name we gather around because that's the name to get answers to prayer. That's the name we gather around because that's the name of salvation. And then if you look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 along that same line, this is a verse that changed my life. This verse finally broke my denominational back. And I lost a lot of money and a lot of friends and a lot of opportunities because of this verse right here. Because I could no longer meet in a denominational name. I simply couldn't do it. Look what he says. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Now that is a very big verse. As far as I'm concerned, it includes a whole lot of things. Whatsoever you do, how big is that? Whatsoever you do in word, how many words you going to say? Well, some of you talk a lot. How about deeds? Word or deed? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, how do you do it? Well, I'm pastor of such and such a church, and I'm visiting for the Methodist church, the corner of Oak Knoll. That's not what he said, dude. I'm here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you? You're an ambassador. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, there's some things that I may have to swallow sometimes to keep meeting with the saints, and that's true. We all do. Have to put up with each other some, don't we? Let me tell you. Pick it up. You get any kind of answer to prayer, it ought to be the name that's glorified. Whatever you do. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you can't do it in His name, you might not ought to be doing it. Amen. Might be something you ought to look into. What a verse. Now just turn back a chapter. Look at Colossians 2, beginning at verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, that's who He's talking about, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. All you people that have been complaining and griping this week, well, here's a good verse for you. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You say, well, I've been to college. I've been to college. Well, see, I got a bachelor's and a master's, and I've been to the cemetery, too. I've got a pretty good education. You better be careful. I had a psychology teacher I liked in college. I went to him one time. I was talking to him about going on further in psychology. As we talked for a little while, then he gave me some advice. He said, quit. He said, I used to be a preacher. Then I got to trust in my psychology more than I trusted my Bible. You know, I took that man's advice, and I walked out, said, I'm going to trust my Bible rather than what Dr. Freud had to say or somebody else had to say. Now, I'm not knocking medical doctors. I'm not knocking psychologists and psychiatrists. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you what you need to be trusting is the Word of God.
Amen.
You going to preach it? He said, beware lest any man spoil you. You can be spoiled. You can have a great ministry and have it ruined. You can have a great faith but have it destroyed. You can be a soul-winning, Bible-teaching, dedicated Christian, and the philosophy you listen to can ruin you when you're not worth 2 cents. That's what he's telling you. You better beware, because let me tell you, the education of the world does not glorify God. The education of the world does not glorify Jesus Christ. The educated people of the world don't even believe in salvation. They think all of this is dark ages mysticism. They don't believe the Bible. Oh, you say, well, I know Dr. So-and-so, and he does. Praise God. He's an exception. If he does, I know enough of him. I've had my experience even in so-called Christian universities. This world does not glorify your Savior. And this world doesn't mind your religion as long as you're not real fanatic with it. They'll put up with your religion if your religion is like their religion. See, they have their religion, too. They go to their churches. They teach Sunday school classes, too. They even preach. But when it comes down to they believe the Bible, they don't. They will undermine it at every opportunity. And they're very subtle. These are smart people. They're very subtle. And you might get fooled because you're not sure enough what to answer them. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Now notice, verse 9. For in him, who? Jesus Christ. Subject all the way. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you realize the importance of that verse? Have you a clue as to really how important that is? All you need is Jesus. And by the way, you can't get to the Father any other way. I'm going to make a statement that's very politically incorrect today. Jesus is the only way. You can't get to heaven by Buddha. You can be the most faithful Buddhist that there ever was, but Buddha didn't die on the cross for you, my friend. You can't get to heaven that way. You can't get to heaven by praying to Mary. There are two mediators. There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You can be the finest Muslim in San Antonio, but unless you repent of your sins and your religion and take Christ as your Savior, you'll go to hell. Though you're a descendant of Abraham, you can be the best Jew in town. You can be leading a synagogue right here and teaching Jewish classes this morning in your Sunday school. But if you have rejected the Messiah, the Savior of the world, right in our generation right now, you'll die and go to hell. How exclusive is he? You're complete in him. There's nothing else. Where are you going to go? How do you add to what Jesus has already done? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He goes on. Jesus is all you need, but every one of you, all of you, need this Jesus. There is no other way. In fact, look back in the book of Acts chapter 4. Beginning at verse 10. We have some of the greatest preachers that ever lived, and we got a little record of part of their sermon. They had healed a crippled man outside the temple. There's a big stir. And they're asking, hey, how'd this happen? Here's the answer. Verse 10. Acts 4:10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught by you, of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're going to be a Bible believer, you're going to be politically incorrect in this generation of compromisers. I'm okay, you're okay, we're okay, everybody's okay. That's not true. That's not true. And let me tell you something. There's some boys right out here in jail. Some of them that have murdered and killed, raped, robbed, stolen, and who have repented of their sins and been born again by the Spirit of God. And they're going to be walking in glory. And there's some pastors in this town preaching dynamic messages this morning and leading people. And they're called reverend and doctor and holy. And they don't have a clue about salvation. None of the names. Is the name important? I think we ought to be lifting up Jesus Christ every time we talk. I think we ought to be lifting up Jesus Christ in every conversation we can get into. I think we ought to be glorifying His name. I think you ought to get up in the morning and say, what can I do to please Jesus? That's not what most of the churches think you ought to be doing. Not even most of the fundamental churches think you ought to be doing. But from the verses I read you this morning, and by the way, I got a lot more. I just wanted to quit preaching somewhere around 12. I got a lot more. If you don't believe me, go out there on that wall over there and get, have you believe things concerning the name of Jesus. I got so many verses that keep you busy for a week. And if you memorize them, it might take a month or two. None of the name under heaven. When you walk up before God the judge, on that throne, what will be your plea? I've been a very good little boy. I've been a very good little girl. I've never done anything wrong. I always obeyed my parents. I never sinned. I never stole any candy. I never stole anything. I never badmouthed or talked about anybody's reputation. I never left it in my heart. I've just been perfectly good. Won't you accept me in? And then the all-seeing one, the all-knowing one will look down at you and reveal the pride of your heart and say, no, I'm sorry. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you fit in that category. I don't care how good you are. You're not good enough. I don't know what you're trusting in. I know a lot of people, some people are trusting that they're better than most other people. So if I live next door to a drunk in some ways, you know, I feel pretty good about myself. I'm not as bad as him. I can get up every day and look at old smashed car and the lawn not been mowed and beer cans all over the yard and say, well, I'm not as bad as him. I remember knocking on doors right in this neighborhood, and I knocked on the door, and I said, lady, I'd like to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, oh, I'm glad you come. Those people down the road, they really need you. I said, but I came to your house because you need me. None of the name. Under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know how strong that statement is? You know something about English? Shall is the strongest word in the English language. That's why it's in all these contracts. Shall. Not will, not might, not may. Shall. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord what? Might be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord may be saved. Know what it says? It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The name of the Lord is Jesus. I want to invite you today, if you're not saved, don't put it off another day. Humble yourself before God. Ask Him to have mercy upon you and believe in Jesus as the Savior of the world. Yes, it'll cost you something. I'm not going to tell you it's not going to cost you anything. It'll cost. My getting saved cost me a lot of things. But you know, I'm sort of like Paul, overdone. I didn't lose much. I thought I was losing something. I didn't lose much. I gained so much more in Christ than anything I ever lost before I got saved. If you call upon Jesus Christ, He'll save your soul. But I promise you, you walk away from Jesus, you have no guarantee. Don Staffy's not that old man by my age. He's not that old man. But he's dead. They're going to preach his funeral sometime this week. I remember an 18-year-old boy that was witnessed to by just a faithful Christian. He talked to him that night. He said, son, you really need to get saved. The boy was wild, a little bit rough, and the mom and daddy wanted this man to speak to him, and he did. Talked to him 15, 20 minutes. The young boy listened. He was polite enough, but he said, look, I got my wild oats to sow. I got a lot of time to live, and I'm not ready. He got on his motorcycle, and that night rode it right into an 18-wheeler. He didn't have another day. He was 18. He didn't have another day. I went to high school with a fellow, Caleb Conanda, a good friend of mine. He threw paper out. He worked hard. He was a good, disciplined young man. He was working out there on the Coliseum, 12 on the roof, 18, died. You have no guarantees. My dear friend David Hoffman's wife, 58 years old, never been sick. She died in a month's time, 3 weeks' time, after they diagnosed cancer of the liver. They didn't even think about a liver transplant. They didn't even think about it. The doctors would not even open her up. You've got no guarantees. You may live to be 80. You might make 105. Even then, my friend, without Christ, you'll split hell right open. 105, Greyhounds, sweet old man, grandpa, grandma. If without Jesus, you're going to hell. You say, that's awful exclusive. That's the Bible view. And any other view violates this Bible. You need Jesus Christ. My Christian friend, what are you living for? What are you living? Are you living for the next paycheck? Are you living to make the payments on the house? Are you living to buy another car? Are you living to go on the next fishing trip? What are you living for? Well, sir, you're doing word of deed. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a revival. We need people with hearts of fire. We need people that love Jesus. We need some Christians that will start praying and acting like they're Christians. This altar's open. We're going to sing number 249, just as I am. If you're here without Christ, come be saved today. Trust Him today. Ask Him to come into your heart and save your soul. If you're a Christian, my friend, God's spoken to your heart in any way. This altar's open. Come do your business with God. As we sing it. How about you today? Would you come to Christ? Would you trust Him as your Savior? Would you confess Him before men? The Lord loves you. He bids you come to Him. Would you come? Sing it out, Christians. Has God spoken to your heart? Do the will of God. Would you come to Christ? Let Him save you today. Call on Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me and save me. He'll do it. We're going to sing another verse. That verse is for you. Has the Lord spoken to your heart? Would you come to Christ? Step out and come out. Make a decision. Trust Christ. Give Him your all today. Would you come to Him today? Heavenly Father, how we thank You for the opportunity to preach the gospel one more time. We thank You, Lord, for the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to You in that name. We've preached in that name. We've invited in that name. And, oh, God, we pray that those here that are lost will call upon You in that name. I ask You, Father, to touch any that are lost and save them. Bring conviction to their hearts. I ask You to answer the prayers that are being prayed in this place at this time. Have Your way in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good day. God bless you.